copy of God's Word, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 today. Luke chapter 2. You'll find this on page 605 in the Pew Bible in the, right there in front of you, Luke chapter 2. I'd like to look at verses 8 through 20 this morning. And I said earlier this week that I intend to preach messages centered on Christmas all month long if the Lord gives me liberty to do that. And so far he has, and I've been praying the Lord to direct my thoughts toward messages based off of the birth of Christ. And this one this morning is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but before you go to sleep on it and think, here we go again, I've heard this same old tired Christmas story, I want you to pay attention this morning and listen to what the Lord has to say. I've titled the message today, "For Unto You." And you may find that this message may be a little more personal to you than what you may think, the message of Christmas. So if you're able to stand this morning, I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And here the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them according concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the reading of your word today. God, may you bless it today. May it go out and touch hearts today, Lord. Just keep me hidden and let you be revealed. For it's these things I ask in the name of Jesus. And amen. You can be seated. A very familiar scripture this morning. If you're like me, most people start hearing this message from Charlie Brown. I believe Linus quotes this and reads it off in the Charlie Brown series of Christmas. And honestly, friends, as sad as it seems, that's the only time some people hear the message of Jesus. The only time that some children even hear about Jesus Christ and the birth of Christ. And while you may not agree with television or cartoons or anything like that, I believe we can all agree today that everybody needs to hear about Jesus. And we find in this familiar text, this Christmas story of the angel coming and telling these shepherds about the birth of Christ, the blessed promised Messiah. This is the greatest news that's ever been announced on the face of the earth. I mean, there's been a lot of announcements made. Friends, we've heard a lot of good things announced throughout our life, but you'll never hear another greater announcement than the truth that Jesus Christ was born. That Jesus Christ had come to save men from their sins. It's the greatest story on all the face of the earth. For hundreds of years, this announcement has been waited on by these people. These shepherds out in the field, all this Jewish race, the Israelites, they've been waiting for hundreds of years for this announcement to be made. They've been waiting on it, listening for it, looking for it, waiting and longing for the announcement of the Messiah that was coming. Now, you would thought that all these folks that were waiting for this and looking for it, that they would have noticed the signs, that people would have been flocking already to the place of the birth of Christ. I mean, the Bible told them how it was going to happen, where it was going to happen, what they should expect when it did happen. But sadly, we saw no one was there except for these shepherds that were told where it happened. And so I emphasize this morning on these words, "For unto you." If you notice throughout the text, the Bible keeps saying "you," "unto you." This was told unto you. "For unto you is born." "Unto you." "This is a sign unto you." And the shepherds said they went and told the things which were told to them those things that the angel said to them. So this is very personal this morning. I want you to take that thought in your mind today that this message is personal to you. We know a lot of people today that have needs. We know a lot of people that are hurting. We know a lot of people that need Jesus. And we may think, well, this message would be great for them. They need to hear this. But I want you to think most of all that you need to hear this message this morning. You need to see what the Lord is having us to look at this morning. But this great news has been given now. Verse 8 said, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Have you ever wondered why on earth did Jesus, his announcement of his birth, why did God choose these shepherds to tell them about the birth of Christ? I mean, wasn't those guys sitting over there in the temple, shouldn't they have been told first? Wouldn't you have thought he'd have come to the church folks first? Those that were there, you know, the Pharisees, maybe the Sadducees. What about the scribes? How about the high priest? Wouldn't you have thought the high priest might have wanted to know about Jesus coming first? You would have thought that. I mean, that's what we think. Well, surely the Catholics think, well, the Pope should have known that first. Yeah, we may think that some great preacher that we know might should have heard the announcement of Jesus first. I mean, why on earth did God go to these stinky guys out in the field? Do you know these men out in the field were unclean? Do you know they were considered unclean? Do you know they could not even go in the temple? Do you know they were forbidden to come in there unless they cleaned up, they washed up, and they made themselves pure to come in? They were unclean men. Those religious leaders would not even allow them to come into the sanctuary. And so they were considered unclean. They were always around animals. They were nasty. A lot of these men were rough men. But we find that God sends the announcement of the greatest announcement to ever be made, that the Messiah is coming. He brought them to these common, unclean men out here in the field. I mean, these were low-class people, stinky people. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. They pretty much kept to themselves. They were there with other shepherds. They kind of had a little bond amongst the shepherds. They would stay together. These were not the kind of people that were worthy of such great news to most people. That's what they would have thought. I mean, I believe these other guys probably would have been more suitable, we would think. We would think those was the more important, but we'd be very wrong. We'd be very wrong. The Bible tells us that the Lord didn't come here to save the righteous, but he came here to save the sinner. He came to call sinners unto repentance. He came for the unclean. He came for the filthy. He came for those that were broken, for those that were cast out, for those that had nothing else to do that could help themselves. He came for them. This same country, it says, means this area around Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Let your mind go back to 1,000 years before this. Do you know, in that same country, you may be familiar with another little shepherd boy that was there keeping watch over the flock of his father, Jesse. You remember that young man, his name was David. We saw that David was that shepherd where he came up to King Saul, and Saul was trying to find out, you know, what it was all about. And Samuel come to anoint him there. And we see that he came to him, and David said, "Well, you know, I'm just a shepherd. But you know what? When that bear came and tried to get one of the sheep, you know what I did? I grabbed him by the throat and I killed that bear. Or when that lion came and tried to get the sheep, you know what I did? I stood between the sheep and that lion, and I killed the lion." You see, God came to these men that had such love and compassion in their heart for the sheep. I mean, they didn't have to have this kind of compassion for them, but they loved them and they took care of them. They put their life in between the sheep and the danger. And so God comes to these men that had a heart. These men had a heart to be able to say that they knew that these sheep that they were watching over were these that were going to be brought up and sacrificed. You know, this is where they kept the Paschal lambs. This is where they kept those that were going to be taken and offered up for a sacrifice. When people came and they were traveling and needed to go to the temple on their way to Jerusalem and they needed a sheep, an unspotted lamb, something perfect, you know what they did? They stopped off here at these men. They say, "We need a good one, friends." You know, they took care of those. And they put their life there in front of them. They put their lives in danger. Anything that come along, they stood in between them. And so God chose these men to stand up and to be heard about the message of the Messiah, the Jesus that was going to be born. And he told them something, the angels told them something very peculiar. The Savior of the world, the Messiah, he's going to be born right over here. And you know what? He's going to be born in a manger. And I'm sure they probably looked around and said, oh, what? Did I hear that right? Guys, did you hear what he just, what the angel said? He's going to be born in a manger? In a stable? In a feeding trough? You mean to tell me over there where they keep the cattle and the nasty things, that's where the Savior of the world is going to be born? This was amazing news. This was something they never expected. I mean, how many of us today would expect a king to be born in a nasty stable in a manger? Nobody. We think, well, a king going to be born? He's going to be born in a palace. He's going to be taken care of. I mean, you see on TV when one of these folks over there in England and the royal family, when something like that happens, there's thousands of people come gathering around. What are they going to name the baby? And boy, they're in the best place and they got all the best things, got all the news coverage, but not Jesus. Jesus came here and the only people that knew about it was these nasty old shepherds out there in the field. Unclean men. And he's going to be born in all the worst places. I think back of David there in 1 Samuel 17:12. It said David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among them men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. At Bethlehem. So here we have 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, young David, the greatest king of Israel, there watching his father's sheep in Bethlehem. The same soul that King David was once watching over the sheep, not much had changed. Not much at all. Same old shepherds, same old sheep, same old place. Nothing really had changed. Still shepherds watching over the flocks. The month could have been anywhere between April and November. And that, I know that blows everybody's thoughts away because from all realities, Jesus was probably not born on December 25th. That's just when we celebrate the birth of Christ. But no matter what month it was, it does not really matter. The thing that matters the most is that Jesus was born. Jesus came. It was God robed himself in flesh and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. You see, too many people today don't realize that the Jesus of Bethlehem, the Jesus in the manger, is the God of heaven. He robed himself in flesh and became man so he could identify with you and me. You see, because God is a spirit. No man has seen God. God is a spirit. But for him to identify with you and with me so that he could save man, he came as a man in human flesh, robed himself in flesh, put that flesh on, and was born in a manger, a lowly manger. So it doesn't really matter the month he was born, but the fact was that he was born. Verse 9 of our text says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." These shepherds watching their flock there, a very strange thing is happening. And the Bible says that they were afraid. I mean, wouldn't you be? I mean, this angel that came is most likely Gabriel, the same angel that came there to Zacharias and Mary and Elizabeth and to announce the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus. Probably the same angel, Gabriel. But this is God's messenger angel. Of course they're going to be concerned. I mean, this is something miraculous. This is not something you expect to be sitting out in the field expecting things to be quiet. I mean, it's nighttime. It says they're watching their flocks by night, flock by night. So all the flocks would most likely be laying down in the field, sleeping, taking it easy. Might have heard an occasional over in the corner, you know. But the shepherds are not expecting something like this to happen. But it says that the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone. Do you realize every time you see that phrase about the glory of the Lord, it usually involves a bright light. It usually involves an earth-shattering light that changes lives. I remember Moses when he went up on the mountain and God allowed him to see just the hind parts of himself. And he couldn't even see. I mean, he was so bright that when he came down off that mountain, the children of Israel couldn't even look at him because he was glowing. The glory of the Lord is bright. It said, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So suddenly, their night was turned to day. We sing that song a lot of times about my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I want you to know in this instance when the shepherds saw this, heaven had came down in the forms of an angel and came down, and glory has filled their soul, these unclean men. It was an extraordinary light that shone, a surprising luster that brightened up the whole night sky. He said, and they were sore afraid. I'd be afraid, I believe. I mean, angels really, you know, we see these. I don't believe we've got any in here today. Maybe on the tree there's an angel or something. We used to have these little fat cherubs sitting over here on these columns. But we always think of angels being these little pretty, you know, little chubby little things with wings, you know. And a lot of people talk about women angels. There's no such thing as a woman angel, by the way. All angels in the Bible are in the masculine form. They're he angels. There's no women angels. They're not touched by an angel woman on TV. But these angels, most of the time when an angel came around you, you were terrified. These were terrifying creatures. These were creatures that God had created to perform things for him. For instance, this angel was a messenger angel that come to deliver the news. And so these were terrifying creatures that would come. And so, of course, they were afraid. Suddenly this angel appears and this bright light shines around you. I can imagine the shepherds, you know, running for cover, ducking and trying to find out what's going on. And verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I love how the Bible, so many times when it says that somebody was afraid, they were in fear, somebody was afraid, but the Bible says, hey, don't be afraid. In those times that they don't need to be afraid, the Bible shows us that God says, you don't need to be afraid. Don't worry, because it's me. Jesus, when he was there out there and they thought there was a ghost walking on the water, the disciples out there in that boat, and they were scared because Jesus came and they thought it was a spirit and they started being afraid. He said, fear not, for it is I. It's Jesus. And so there's no need for them to be afraid. And the angel tells them that. Don't be afraid. He says he come to bring them good tidings of great joy. Not only that, but it shall be to all people, to all people. Not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, not just the Catholics, not just the Lutherans, not just the Methodists or the Presbyterian, and not just the Baptist. As proud as the Baptist I am, he didn't just come for us. He came for all people. And that includes all races, all colors, all languages, all everything. He come for everybody, nobody excluded. I'm glad that he came for the Gentile too. Because I is one. The good news is being delivered up. And what is the great news? I imagine the shepherds were on pins and needles waiting for the great news that the angel is going to tell them. Look at verse 11. The angel says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. He didn't say unto them. He didn't say, you know what? God has sent somebody down here for them. For those guys in the temple. He brought him for them. He didn't say that. He said, for unto you is born. Friends, we could close our Bibles right now. We could flip this pulpit over, swing off these chandeliers right here, run the aisles and just shout glory, hallelujah. Because the Bible says that for unto you, which means me, which means you, he came to unto you. The Bible says for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I don't know if you understand exactly what that means this morning. Do you know if this had not happened, if Jesus had never came here to save you from your sins, if he had never come and said unto you that he come to be a Savior, you know what would happen to you? You'd be in hell today. You would be in hell with your back broke. You would be in hell suffering the pain, the torment. All the awful things that the Bible tells us about a hell of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not, where there's not a drop of water there for you. There's no, God is not there in hell for you. You have nothing, no love at all in hell. And that's where you and I would be today if it had not been sent unto you, unto us. If he had not been sent unto us, we'd have no hope today. No hope. But thank God we have hope today And people say, well, what is the big deal about this? What's the big deal about Christmas? Why do you guys get so excited about it? Friends, it's not the trees, which we love. It's not the beautiful poinsettias here. It's not any of that. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that God loved us so much that He was willing to send His only Son here to die for us, and that He was born unto us. That's the big deal about Christmas. And people say, well, what's the big deal if they call it holiday party? Why do you folks care if they don't say Christmas? Why can't you include everybody on this? Because I want you to tell, if you're going to celebrate Christ, if you're going to celebrate Christmas, then you need to remember it's the Christ of the Bible. It's Jesus that you're celebrating today. It's not some holiday or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what all these holidays are they celebrate today, but I celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I celebrate when God thought enough of me to send His Son here to die for me. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Because I needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. I couldn't save myself. I was lost. I was hellbound. I was a sinner. But God sent unto me, He sent unto you a Savior. Look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign, there it is again, unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Unto you, I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but the angel is more or less instructing these shepherds where to go, what to look for, how to find Jesus. He tells them how they can tell who He is. They'll find the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in all places here, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know what swaddling clothes were for? Now, they wrap babies. When the babies were born back then, they would wrap them up in these strips of cloth to protect their limbs and things. But swaddling clothes were reserved for funerals. Swaddling clothes were what you wrapped up a person in when you was going to bury them. And so this angel has come to them and says, you're going to find this baby wrapped up in death clothes. This baby wrapped up in these death garments. He's going to be wrapped up in swaddling clothes. He's going to be laying in a manger. In other words, in the place where they feed the cattle. That's where you're going to find the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in all places a lowly manger. That's where the Savior is going to be. How peculiar this must have been. Verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Wow. I mean, double wow. What a fantastic show the shepherds are privileged to witness. Now, I know the Bible, you know, a lot of times we talk about angels singing. The Bible never says angels sing. You're not going to find angels singing in the Bible. They come and they praise God, and they say things, and they all this, but the Bible doesn't say angels sing. But we only imagine that. We think about angels singing because it sounds like something beautiful. And we have songs, you know, the angels singing and all this. We get all, sentimental about it. But the fact is, these angels came here, and the Bible says that they were praising God. They were saying glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a rousing performance. They didn't have to have instruments. They didn't have to have music or anything. But just glorifying God was enough. Glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known. There it is again. Unto us. Unto us. Then just as quickly as the angels appeared, he's gone. All the heavenly hosts, all the angels, the bright lights, the glory of the Lord, all that's gone now. Just like that, they're back the way it was. It's dark now. I'll probably see stars in the sky. Probably hear the lambs out there, over there in the background. And so they're back the way it was. Back to business, tending sheep. But I notice they start talking amongst themselves. They start talking about it. And they say, hey, you know what? Let us go. Let's go down there to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that the angels talked about. Let's go find the Messiah. Let's go see the Savior. But what about the sheep? Well, they'll be fine. Let's go. Let's go find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and see His glory. Let's see this thing. And so they get together and they decide we're going to go and see this thing which the Lord has made known unto us. And so that's what they decide to do. They go to Bethlehem. It says in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And I preached on this one time in the past about, and they came with haste. I titled the message, just knowing the excitement that they had among them. The Bible says it came with haste. That comes from the Greek word called spudo. We don't say that word here in English. You know, you don't say spudo, but we say with speed. I mean, we came with haste. You know, a lot of times I like to get places fast. Sometimes I'm guilty of maybe breaking a few laws down here. Don't tell anybody. But I like to get somewhere and I like to get there quick. And, I drive sometimes a little too fast. I like to hurry. These guys are not going to mess around. We don't know if they walked, if they ran, if they got on camels or whatever they did. But boy, they went, and they went with haste. Don't you hate it when you're trying to get somewhere and everybody's trying to slow you down? I mean, the things are happening, and the faster you want to get there, the more trouble you have trying to get there. I mean, if I'm trying to get here on Wednesday night for Wednesday night service and I have to leave work at 6 o'clock out in West Knoxville, boy, I'm just like a demon driving down that road trying to get here. And everybody's trying to stop me. I mean, they're cutting me off and they're stopping in front of me and traffic's jammed up and there's cops everywhere. I mean, it's a mess. I don't like to be, slowed down like that. When I'm going somewhere, I don't like people say, you know, let's stop off right here on the way. That's on the way. I've always wanted to go. Let's go there later. Let's go where we're going. You know, get in the car, be quiet, buckle up, and let's go. We're going to put the hammer to the floor. But that's what these guys are doing. They're not going to let anything stop them. Not even the problem with having to watch over the sheep. I don't know how they took care of that. Maybe God just watched over it. But they took off with haste. That's what they done. And it says, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So just by using heaven's GPS system, watching the star up in the sky, they found exactly what they were looking for. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Look at that. And so these lowly shepherds, they discovered the Lamb of God. Don't you think that's pretty fitting? That shepherds would come and discover the Lamb of God laying in a manger? Sounds fitting to me. That's exactly what they've always been looking after. And now here is the most precious, perfect Lamb to ever be seen by man. And they see Him. Over in 1 Peter 1:19, Peter writes this. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Do you not see the whole picture behind this? I mean, every time I read this, I see something different in there. But I see that God has came to these unclean men, these shepherds that watch over sheep for a living. That's what they do. That's all they do. And He sent them to the perfect, unspotted, unblemished Lamb over in the manger. There couldn't be anything more fitting than this, than those shepherds coming to see over Him. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now I want to make an application here and we'll be finished. First of all, I want us to notice the angels came to common shepherds, to unclean men. Do you realize today, and we've already talked about it, who God comes to? You know who He comes for, don't you? He comes to common people. He comes to unclean men and women. He comes to those that need help. These shepherds needed help. They were just unclean, common men out there in the field. They couldn't do anything on their own. But He came to them. And He came with them the good news that there was a Savior. The Savior had been sent unto them. God came and He told us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, He came unto us. He came unto us so that we could have a Savior. That's why He came unto us. That's why He came unto the shepherds. Second point, the shepherds made haste to go to Jesus because He was the one that could save them. The angel said a Savior was born. They made haste to go see a Savior. Friends, that's why God came to us. He came to save us. He's a Savior, and we should make haste to go and see Him. Third point, after they met Him, you notice that? They went everywhere they could, and they told everybody about Him. Do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember how excited you were? You know, the other day I was pulling up, on the internet, I was pulling up pictures of Elm Street Baptist Church, back where I got saved. What place looks awful run down now? Back when my Uncle Adriel Hall was pastor there, that was a fine church. It was a fine church. It was a fancier church than what I went to. Kept up real nice. I pulled up pictures and looked at it there on the internet, and it looked pretty run down. Looked pretty rough. It didn't look like the church I remembered. There was hundreds of people went there then. How times had changed. But friends, I still remember that time when I was sitting there on that pew, and the Savior of the world came and touched my heart. And He made me realize that I was lost and without hope. And He came to save me. And without Him, I couldn't be saved. Because I was on my way to hell. Because I was a sinner. It didn't matter how big the sin. 6 years old, how big was my sins? Told some lies. Maybe stole something. I mean, nothing we think is huge. But no matter how small that sin may be, or how large it is, it still condemns you to hell. And we need to be saved from that. And God sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, unto us. And what did I do after I got saved? I remember it. I remember going home, telling Mom and Daddy I got saved tonight. I got saved at Bible school. I was so overjoyed. I remember going to school the next day. It wasn't the next day. It was when we went back to school in September. And I told everybody. I told everybody I got saved. I remember that. I told all my family, all my friends, everybody I could. That's what the shepherds have done. They have come in contact with the Savior. You know what the first thing they want to do? They want to go and tell everybody. They want to go and tell. It says, praising God for all things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. But it said in verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, some people say, well, you know, I wasn't called to preach. I wasn't called to do anything like that. And so I don't feel that it's my place to go and tell everybody about Jesus. You think the shepherds were called to be preachers? You think the shepherds were called to be missionaries? They may not have been called, but friends, when they got saved, they sure felt it. They sure went out there and they told everybody. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be telling the world about the Savior. And then after they told everybody, what did they do? Don't miss it. They glorified and praised Him. What do we do? Why did we come here today? Did we come here out of habit? Did we come here to see what Christmas decorations we had? Did we come because it's Christmas time, we felt like we should? Why did we come here today? I came here to glorify and praise God today. And if I could get me out of the way this morning, if I could get my old carnal self out of the way, I believe I could touch heaven with it. I believe I could touch heaven with the praise to God. I believe if we'd all get ourselves out of the way today and realize the reason we're here is to glorify and praise God for what He's done for us. My friends, the shepherds were normal, everyday people, sinners in need of a Savior. They heard the good news of Jesus. They went and found Him. And then after they met the Savior, they went and told people about Him, and then they praised Him and glorified Him. It's the perfect picture of the lost sinner coming to the acknowledgement that they need a Savior. And they got saved. I want to tell you this morning, God has sent His only begotten Son. As they come and get the invitation song, God gave His only begotten Son to this old world, even yet while we were yet sinners. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, that He saved us, that He loved us. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I find somebody doing things that I don't like or appreciate, I'm almost reluctant to talk to them. I'm reluctant to try to do anything with them. I'm glad God's not like that. I'm glad God wasn't reluctant when He looked down at my lost condition. He didn't hold back and say, well, maybe later when He cleans Himself up. It's not what He did. He came and He touched my heart first while I was yet a sinner. If you've been saved today, that's how He came to you. I want you to stand this morning as we sing this invitation song. What number?
Number 44 in the church hymnal.
Number 44 in the church hymnal. And if you have a need today as we have this invitation song, you come to this altar and let me pray with you. Whether it's for salvation, backslidden condition, maybe you need to just get close to the Lord. Would you come down?